We are joined by attorney Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone. Every Monday we do a three and out involving the two Division I football teams and what I've been calling the best D3 school. I still think they're the best D3 football team in the state, St. John's University, despite their loss to Gustavus on Saturday. That's still a heck of a team. But let's go to the Gophers. They played in Iowa. It looked like they had lost the game on a punt return for a touchdown, like 50-plus yards. Terrific return by this kid. Called back because they said he was making the fair catch motion. I don't think he did. And the question, he was pointing. That wasn't the pointing. He was, like, pointing to, blockers. And then his left arm, it wasn't in the air. It was, like, straight out, and he was circling it. And here's the problem, though. If indeed, because the whole idea is you can't call for a fair catch and run, because then the covering team thinks that you're trying to pull something. If that were the case, why did they try to tackle him immediately after he made the catch? I don't think the Gophers thought he was fair catching.
That's a good question. I guess the lesson here is don't
flap your arms.
Call for the refs. You know, yeah. Don't if you're going to return it. Do not even make it any kind of indication that it might be a fair catch. Yeah, I think it could have gone either way, Bob. I'm glad the Gophers are leaving with the trophy, but I also feel for the Hawkeye fans who are pretty upset about this it's one of those, you know, refs are human, refs aren't perfect. I mean, they have to make a judgment call right when it happens, and the kid was waving his arm around doing something.
He wasn't waving it above his head. That's why I didn't think you could make a fair catch with your arm off to your side making a circle motion.
You aren't allowed to do to signal fair catch and then fake it because you don't want to.
I don't think he did. I honestly don't consider him making a fair catch because I think the announcer said he might have done that. Or I didn't see the entire game. I did see that live, and I even posted something on Twitter. Then I deleted it. It was one of the most incredible punt returns I've seen. The way he tight-roped it down the sideline, the way he evaded all the Gophers. It was a great return that wound up being taken away. And I don't care what the Gophers said. I don't believe that they thought he was fair catching, or they wouldn't have tried to tackle him.
I watched Iowa play Wisconsin the week before, and I didn't think the Gophers had any chance whatsoever. So
the
fact that they were even in the game was kind of shocking.
Here's why they're in the game. That is not even it's not a D3 quarterback, maybe the fifth string D3 quarterback. The Iowa quarterback, who is a kid who had to replace the starter because he got hurt, he's horrible. He's got a horrible arm.
Not the type of quarterback that Iowa usually has, you know, under center.
No, I mean, I'm surprised they kept it as close as they did with him throwing the ball because he was a horrible, horrible thrower.
Yeah.
Just a bad arm. And, you know, but the Gophers won. It's the first time in, 80 years that they've beaten Iowa? That's what it seems like.
I think it's 20 years since they've won at Kinnick Stadium. It's been a long time. But you know what this means, Bob, is, you know, they kind of bob along on the bottom of the Big Ten. And you know, this is the just enough to bring the coach back and to just keep accepting the mediocrity that is the Golden Gopher football program.
Yeah, you know what? And as long as they win a game, they'll wind up going to some dopey bowl game. But you know what?
Let the
Gopher fans bask in this. I was not impressed. Now, Iowa did have a good record, no question about it. But that quarterback was just pure misery. And by the way, the Gopher quarterback's not that much better.
At least one of Minnesota's D1 teams won their game in Iowa this year. Because of course, a week ago, Tommy's got walloped by Drake, and that basically ended their chance at a repeat of a conference championship.
So they
bounced back this week down in Florida against Stetson. They won bigs, but
I wouldn't expect
point,
a team named
they aren't really playing for anything either.
Wouldn't expect a team named Stetson to be coming from Florida. I would think that'd be Texas all the way. You know, Stetson Hatton. I wanted to talk to you about the Johnny. I thought the Johnnies were a cinch. I know that Gustavus had a good record, but they wound up losing by a field goal? And it's a shame because you were telling me off the air that it could mean they likely will not, unless Gustavus loses. Is Gustavus done? They don't have Bethel in the regular season because
the MIAC now is two different divisions.
Divisions, yes.
Gustavus is in one. Bethel and St. John's are in the other.
Oh, so they wouldn't face Bethel. Okay.
So, right. So then the way that works is at this point because Bethel has, you know, one less loss than St. John's.
It doesn't matter that it's only one that they lost in the MIAC to St. John's. It's the overall record they look at.
I think Bethel is undefeated in the MIAC. They lost a non-conference game just like the Johnnies.
I thought Bethel played the Johnnies and lost to them.
That's right. Yes, they did. So they must look at overall. Then you're right. They must look at overall record.
That is so wrong. It's an incentive to play these passes.
This has been the criticism of Division III football for a long time. You know, going back, and I remember back to the days when St. Thomas was still there. This idea that, and there was one year where I think it was either St. Thomas or St. John's stayed home from the playoffs because it's like a bracket, like the basketball playoffs, right? And St. Scholastica, who I think the Johnnies had beaten by like 100 points or something, because they won their conference. Now, this is before they were in the MIAC. I think it was the UMAC at that point. They won the UMAC, and they got to go to the playoffs, but the team that beat them by 100 points stayed home. So here's St. John's, who came into yesterday, ranked number 7. I'm guessing they will still be in the top 25 after yesterday. I'll have to wait. We'll have to. You know, I haven't seen where the standings lined up.
Well, hey, the Northwoods is where the St. John's is. So is Gustavus. Gustavus, by the way, they're just 2-0 in the conference. I think they don't.
I thought Gustavus was in a different division.
They're in the Northwoods. They're with Gustavus. Skyline is Bethel. So Bethel, okay, but Gustavus is 4-3 overall.
Well, okay. I think what it is if Gustavus wins out against St. Olaf, then they play like St. Olaf, then they play Bethel for
the
MIAC.
They got St. Olaf, and then they have Carleton, so they should win both of them.
Yeah. So you're right. That's how it works. But it just shows you the screwball nature of these playoff rank these brackets. I mean, to me, it would be good for Division III football to have St. John's in it. I'm assuming. You know,
now,
I think
wait a
they
second.
Still get a shot at like an at-large bid.
Okay, Gustavus Carleton is 6-1. So I mean that they could knock off they can knock off Gustavus, and they lost 63-7 to St. John's. That makes it less likely, but the team still only had that's the team that was saying that they were number one in the MIAC.
Yeah. Right. Right?
But I mean, who knows how this is going to play out? It's it's just odd. I mean, it's a shame that the Johnnies lost. I certainly, if I pull for a team now in the MIAC, it would be St. John's. Because again, I got a kid that goes to St. John's. So obviously I have, I have a little bit of a rooting interest in what they do.
But Gustavus, we've talked about it before on here, Bob, is Gustavus is another one of those schools like Concordia, like Augsburg, that can pull it together on any given Saturday and somehow be a spoiler, and especially with the Johnnies being the reputation that they have, everybody's trying to knock them off, and Gustavus just found just enough to be able to do it. So you can't ever underestimate any team in that conference, in that division, because they're all gunning for the best.
Yeah, and that's what St. John's has been, and actually they're going to continue to be. It's not like they're falling off by any means. So they got a good
look coaching. Look at it this way, because they lost them to a MIAC opponent, it just makes it less likely that they kept themselves in for one more year, not getting kicked out of the MIAC like St. Thomas did for being too good.
Get rid of the Gustavus. They're too good. Yeah, maybe they'll go after them. They can't. St. John's is not. I mean, it's just not that big a school. They better never try to pull that. But anyway, all right.
Right.
Well, there is that, and they'll bounce back. And I'd love to see them get into the postseason. I hope it works out for them. But right now, Carleton needs to knock off Gustavus, so the Johnnies have another crack at Bethel and get the automatic bid. But until that happens, and if that happens, we'll have to just take a step back, wait and see. Jeff O'Brien, thank you so much, sir.